WBH Radio host William Holly. Thank you for tuning in. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Appreciate you being here, man. Let's get straight to it. We got Damar Hamlin. We got Shannon Sharp. We got Skip Bayless. I was shocked by the shock. I was shocked that America seemed shocked that a young man could be seriously hurt on a football field. If you don't know, Damar Hamlin was a football player for the Buffalo Bills. Last week, he collapsed during an NFL game. First off, salute to him. Period. No ifs, ands, buts, qualifiers. Salute to him. I think sometimes America believes these guys are young and strong and they got money, they got it all figured out. Quite the contrary. Take it from somebody that has worked in professional locker rooms. These kids come in there green. You know what I'm saying? They've devoted so much time to their sport that some of them have never driven a car. Some of them have never signed a lease. These are just young adults trying to figure it out. And I'm sure that was very scary for him and his family. So salute to him. I wasn't watching in real time. Somebody told me that somebody had collapsed during the game, so I tuned in to watch the coverage. I thought Ryan Clark of ESPN, I thought he was amazing that night, helping us to get a perspective of what perhaps his teammates were feeling or his competitors were feeling. The same with Booger McFarlane, ESPN personality. I thought those brothers were great that night. But my one takeaway was that I was shocked by how shocked everyone seemed to be. His teammates, his opponents, the fans, the broadcasters, and that was days ago. Even America as a whole. And I'm like, yo, how could this be? It's football. These young men engage in 60 to 70 car crashes a game. No matter how strong or fast you are, the human body is not meant to do that. So how could you be shocked? Like, oh my God, what do you know? Like, somebody just collapsed on the football field. Like, how does that happen? I'm just sitting watching them, and I'm trying to get an understanding of why this can be. And my conclusion is because the NFL, its media machine, and the propaganda has done a good job of hiding the fact or hiding the public from the fact that football is a dirty, nasty, violent, dangerous game. It wasn't but a few years ago when the NFL tried to stomp all over the Will Smith concussion movie and the research behind it. The NFL don't want that to get out, that people are really getting hurt behind the sport. Why? Because it would jeopardize their cash cow. The NFL as owners are counting on these games, counting on legions and legions of young men and generations coming in to fill these ranks, to continue to line the owners' pockets. If the truth about the game got out, well, more questions would be asked. But the NFL is doing a great job of selling you that, oh, our game is safe. Your kids, yeah, they're safe to play it at 5, 6 years old. Yeah, go ahead. Look at our new helmet design. Yeah. That's not the truth. And when I sat back and I saw the surprise on everybody's face, I said, dang, the devil's winning. Because whenever you don't speak the truth, the devil is winning. You are subjected to being exploited. Truth. I did not play football, but I took another dangerous path this country has to offer, and I joined the United States Army out of high school. I served out of Fort Carson, Colorado, 183rd Maintenance Company. Workhorse. That's what we were yelling formation. And last year, you know, it's been about 15 years since I got out. A friend of mine from Maryland, Joseph C. Jones, he called me. He said, "Will, did you hear that one of ours committed suicide?" I said, "No, damn. They got one." Shortly after hanging up with Joe, my man Andres Arias from Florida called me. He said, "Yo, Will, did you hear that our guy committed suicide?" I said, "Damn, yeah, I just heard from Joe." After I hung up from him, I called another good friend of mine, Jose Villamon. He was our, what you call, a non-commissioned officer, NCO, a sergeant. He was our leader. And you got to understand, those guys in those leadership positions, where they take great pride in securing our safety, leading us to being our leadership, right? And I knew he would be taking it particularly hard that one of his guys chose to take their own life. Because we soldiers, we battle buddies forever. No matter if we 10 years removed from the Army, you live on the East Coast, you live on the West Coast, you married, you a bachelor. Like, once you're a soldier, always your soldier. So I called him to offer my condolences. He said, "Yeah, Holly, man, it's crazy. You know, it was sad, it was somber, but there was no shock. There was no surprise." Why? Because we understand this is an occupational hazard of being a United States military veteran. No group in this country commits suicide at a higher clip than military vets. Not men, not women, not Jews, Gentiles, Muslims, homosexuals, heterosexuals. Like, if you stack military vets against any other demographic, we commit suicide at a higher clip. Right? That's the truth of our job. And embracing that truth allows us to move vigilantly. When I joined the Army, the moment I got in, every action I took was to get out. Yo, I'm going to get in here. I'm going to save my money. I'm going to get the hell out of here. I'm going to start taking some college courses so I can be halfway towards a degree. When I get out, I'm getting out of here. But why, Will? The Army's a cool place. Yeah, for you. But it's an Army. And it protects a country that likes to get into wars. And it's being looked over by individuals who are immoral. It's being ran by people that will throw us anywhere in the country. I mean, in the world. It's being ran by people who don't even want their own children serving in this military. I need to get out as soon as possible. And it is understanding that truth which has allowed so many of my brothers and sisters in arms to go on to live healthy lives. Now, are there casualties every now and again? Did people get hurt in the war? Did people get hurt after the war? Absolutely. But I believe it is a culture of truth that allows as many of us as possible to get out. That doesn't exist in the NFL or around the sport of football. And it's dangerous. And it was evident when I seen people shocked. Grown men, like, "Oh my God, how could..." If you know what you engaged in, you can't be shocked. Sad, somber, yes. But the, that can't exist. And furthermore, Damar Hamlin, he is not a hero. In fact, he serves as a sterling example of what America likes to do to their black people. They like us bruised, beat up, broken up. Jay-Z said it in one of his lines. America tried to emasculate the greats. Murder Malcolm, gave cash to the shakes. Wait, tell them rumble, young man, rumble. Try to dim your light till you be humble. America tried to emasculate the greats. Murdered Malcolm, gave cash to the shakes. America didn't love Cassius until he was no longer able to speak. That's how they won our people. So we can't get caught up in the lionization, the deification of Damar Hamlin. No, he's one of the casualties. He's one of the people that got injured along the way. And we need to use that to turn to not only our young kids coming through the ranks, but even the NFL players that are there now. Yo, bro, stop running around like you made it and you at the finish line. No, the NFL should be treated accordingly. It is a quick flip. It is a lick. Get your money. Get out. We need to have that truthful conversation to save lives. But the NFL doesn't want you to know this. They don't. They want you to play. They want you to send your son to play 18 years from now. Truthful conversations. And every now and again, a truthful conversation happens. If you remember a few years ago, our president, Barack Obama, came out and said, hey, if I had a son, I don't think I'd let him play football. And what do you know? He got backlash. Of course, because the people that make a pretty penny off this football stuff, they don't want that word coming out from the highest office. They don't want families thinking twice about letting their kids play football. Even LeBron, he said, yo, my kids could play whatever sport they want except football. And when the reporter pointed out to LeBron, hey, didn't you play football in high school? He said, yeah, because I was looking for a way out. My interpretation of that, we got money. We don't have to play that game of football, that dangerous, violent sport. So the truth comes out every now and again, but it's few and far between. And the NFL keeps putting their spin and their propaganda, and they try to sell you on, oh, we one big happy family. You're not. It's the labor force versus the owners. In fact, a brother by the name of Howard Bryant, who's a brilliant writer for ESPN, he put out an article a few years ago. And he was talking about when NFL players get drafted, why the hell are they hugging the NFL commissioner? He said it's a bad look for the NFL Players Association and the NFL ownership. Right, he was talking about it from that perspective. But I'll take it a step further. Why are you hugging the commissioner? When you was in your neighborhood struggling, your mama was working two jobs to put food on the table, or you had to walk past violent communities to get home after practice, the commissioner wasn't there. Hell, him and his cronies may actually be the source for all of the pressures your community feels with the ownership hoarding resources, the ownership putting politicians in place to make sure the resources stay on their side. He may be the source. So why are you freaking hugging him like he's your friend? He's not. It's a battlefield. And all of those owners, we're at war. The proletariat, the working class, especially the black brothers, the minorities. You got to be vigilant. You got to understand what's really at play. It's not just a child's game. We're having fun. No, it's one of the few routes to wealth for black men in this country. And when you get in there, get your coins and get out. I'll give you another personal story. Fans of WBH Radio, they may recognize the name Cesar Rayman Francis. He is a young boxer. What is he now? The WBO, NABO, super something, something of the world. He's also a personal friend of mine. And when he comes to this podcast, it's very challenging for me. And I'm going to tell you why. I bring him here to help raise his stock in the sport, you know, offer some exposure. But in all honesty, I don't give a damn about the sport of boxing. So I got to come here and kind of, you know, give a boxing interview. But really what I want is for my friend to get in, get what he got, he's going to get, and get the hell out. And he knows that. When he's in my presence, we ain't talking about, yo, dog, when you get this, we gonna buy us a foreign, we gonna get some drip, we gonna pop some bottles. The conversation is, yo, bro, when you get your bag, go get your three-family brownstone, collect your rent so your mama ain't gotta work for them people, so you can be as healthy as you can be to be around for your children. That's what the conversation is, because we know how dirty that sport is. Truth. There's people dying, man. Right? It's not all love. And it is that propaganda that can lead to people getting hurt. So DeMar Hamlin, you go back a few years with Ryan Shazier, who was a player for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was left partially paralyzed on the field, but it seems like he's walking now, and they trying to raise him up as a hero. Man, he ain't a hero. He's a sterling example of what America will do to my brothers. So we need to turn around and educate the kids. You like that football? We don't need to play tackle until high school. You like that football? Cool. It's one of the first, only few routes to wealth. Get in there and play for 4 years instead of 8 years. Focus on your books and your business as much as you do football, so you can just get in and get out. You love the game so much, well, hell, we play flag football on the weekend. But the NFL, that's a lick. That's a stick up. And stop treating it as anything such. And when I see the feedback from DeMar Hamlin, the whole world shocked, it just lets me know that the miseducation is working, because it has my people sleep when we need to be more vigilant. And I want to play this clip from Jay-Z, which bothered me. This is years ago. Jay-Z was on a Van Lathan show. This is before Jay-Z had partnered with the NFL. And they were asking him about Kaepernick. Let's see.
I got a question for you. Colin Kaepernick, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, here's a guy. He is now, I think, an American hero, sticking up for civil rights, sticking up for police reform, sticking up for the First Amendment. He's a legend. He's going to go down with the Muhammad Ali's or whatever. But he lost his job. If you were his sports agent, Jay-Z is the sports agent for Colin Kaepernick. And before this all happened, he came to you and said, I want to do this. Would you have said, do it, don't do it? What would you have counseled the brother?
Oh, 100% do it. Wow. I mean, this, look how many people play football. They're not all going to be him. Like, you just put his name next to Muhammad Ali. Would you rather be playing football, getting your head dinged in, or would you?
Jay-Z made a flippant remark. Would you rather be playing football and getting your head dinged in? So Jay-Z knows this is going on in the sport, yet he still represents football players? If this is life-threatening, why don't we find a way to help get our brothers out? Would you rather you playing football and getting your head dinged in? So then how do you then partner with the NFL? I don't know. Like, morally, how do you do that? How do you represent players and take a portion of their salary and sit up in the skybox knowing that the sport is that violent? I don't know. That just rubbed me the wrong way. And to me, it all contributes to that propaganda machine, the miseducation, the exploitation. Don't let these people now lionize DeMar Hamlin. Salute to that brother, but he's not a hero. He's an example of what they will do to you. The same with George Floyd. He's not a hero. America had no choice but to acknowledge George Floyd. Goddamn, 8 minutes, clear as day, 4K HD video, police with his foot on his neck. So cool. They acknowledge George Floyd, but I can't fall in that trap of saying, yo, this is a special case, when I know of so many other cases. Tamir Rice, Trayvon Martin, hell, Eric Gardner, hell, Sean Bell, brother that got shot the night before he was supposed to get married here in New York City. Amadou Diallo got shot up in the Bronx. How many bullets? He ain't have a gun on him. Abner Louima, who didn't die but got a plunge up his ass. It's my job to ring the alarm and say, look, guys, this is what America does. The same with DeMar Hamlin. The same with Ryan Shazier. And even a brother that got hurt playing for Rutgers a few years ago. Yo, this is what this sport does. Let's be honest. There's kids getting paralyzed. There's kids getting hurt. There's kids suffering from cardiac arrest. There's kids dying. Let's be honest about what's going on the football field. That's all I asked for. And when I saw and continue to see what I believe is shocked, or it shocks me. This is the dirty game that's going on. And we have to be more vigilant. And you say, but Will, what are the? I don't fault the players. Yeah, this is one of the few avenues to wealth. But we got to get in there and be honest. Yo, them NFL owners, they ain't my friend. Stop yucking it up with these motherfuckers. Stop hugging the commissioner on draft day. When you get in there, stop buying all this dripping bullshit. Buy assets to get you out. And make sure your kids don't have to go through that either, like LeBron did. And, yo, ladies and gentlemen, I ain't a podcaster, huh? That's what sometimes I be really getting annoyed by some of these stories, because I don't just want to talk about it. Because you're talking to somebody that's a soldier. And when I'm talking about, I know what it is to be a lower-ranking member of an organization. You can still push back without being rude and disrespectful. I bring up the case of Brooklyn College. When I was working as a coach, I said something the leadership was unhappy about. They fired me, and then that's why I went on a podcast. That's when I did. I took them to court and ended up getting a settlement and all that. I bring that up, and Fenton always jokes, you always bring that up, because that is the one story that we all know. But I apply pressure to the powers that be in all of my career stops. My military brothers will tell you, Holly, that nigga wild, son. Sergeant, give me my duties and my responsibilities, and I'm going to carry them out. But when it's downtime, you can't come over here. No. The same with when I worked at Major League Baseball. My man, Carl Giannina, who was a guest on this podcast, I don't know if you guys remember him. We did the Yankee episode. He's like a Filipino brother, cool kid. He texted me the other day, actually, for New Year's. He'll tell you, when I'm in the Major League Baseball offices, give me my job, and I'm out. Yo, but Will, you should have dinner with so-and-so. No, I shouldn't. Yeah, they hold the future of your career. No, they don't. My career is in my hands. I'm not sitting at a lunch table with somebody I don't know or like, laughing at jokes that I don't think are actually funny. No, you can let the powers that be know that they don't need to cross this line. You stay on your side, I stay on my side. I came to get my money. I came to get whatever I'm here to get, and I'm out, back to my people and my community. Stop yucking it up because they seemingly outrank you. No, we're at war. Them people in the MLB office don't care if I live or die. Them NFL owners don't care if most of these people live or die. And let's stop pretending otherwise. You got fucking grown men like Michael Irvin. Yeah, Jerry Jones is like a father figure to me. Why? Because he paid you for your skills? When you was down in Miami, wherever you from, in a one bedroom with 11 siblings, Jerry Jones didn't give two fucks about you. He let you run that nasty gauntlet, which is inner cities, poverty, by yourself. And now you worked yourself to being one of the better football players in the world, and you want to hug and yuck it up like, oh, so thank you for the opportunity. Not understanding that individuals like Jerry Jones is the reason our communities are under so much pressure. The miseducation, son. And the outcome is us continuing to walk into their buildings, continuing to be at their mercy. It's dangerous. And that is my takeaway from the DeMar Hamlin situation. It just showed how in the dark so many of us are. I had something else I wanted to mention. I forgot. Damn. I just had it. Maybe I'll bring it up a little bit later. DeMar Hamlin. Uh, DeMar Hamlin, Ryan Shazier, the brother from Rutgers. All right, anyway. Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp, co-host of Undisputed with Skip Bayless. After DeMar Hamlin collapsed, Skip Bayless, he tweeted something. And America was unhappy about it. It seemed like all of America. So, many of us waited with bated breath for the next morning when we would hopefully see Shannon Sharp debate Skip Bayless. What do you know? Shannon Sharp did not show up for work. Ladies and gentlemen, I found that rather disappointing. I found that rather weak. I'm not calling Shannon Sharp a coward, but I found those actions rather cowardly. Shannon Sharp, whether it's fair or unfair, many people look at you as a representation of Black America and someone to represent the Black voice. And outside of that, you represent the former athlete. You see so many athletes, they say, oh, those journalists don't know nothing. I wish I could get up there and give them a piece of my mind. Well, you, Sharp, hold that seat. You are a three-time Super Bowl champion. You are a Hall of Fame tight end. America was waiting with bated breath for you to go up there and give Skip a piece of your mind because so many of the players who were tweeting at him, they don't have that opportunity. So they were calling upon you, Sharp. You elected Uncle Shay Shay, and you didn't show up? That was disappointing, bro. Your job is to talk. If you had an issue with Skip, go see him. Shannon Sharp, I never knew you for being somebody to duck the smoke. It was so disappointing. I couldn't believe that he wasn't there. You see, sometimes the fan is Undisputed. I get up early and I go about my day and I watch Undisputed at night. And I saw something on YouTube that said Shannon Sharp wasn't there. I said, no way he wasn't there on that day. Sure enough, he wasn't there. Shannon Sharp, he returned the next day and he said that seeing DeMar Hamlin fall on the field hit him a little different because his brother was temporarily paralyzed on the field many years ago. I could understand that. But then you go on to say, well, I didn't want the conversation to be about Skip's tweet. Yo, bro, dog, these shows, First Take, Undisputed, we fell in love with them because they tackled the topics. Your paycheck is because you talk. And then when we were looking for you to talk, you were ghosts. You stealing money, Shay. That was rather disappointing, man. And I think it's bigger than that situation. I think it goes back to what Fenton and I discussed a few weeks ago when Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless had that intense battle regarding the Tom Brady conversation. When Skip Bayless says, Sharp, you just jealous of Tom Brady because he's still playing at 45 when you had to retire at 35. I think it just goes back to perhaps the Kyrie Irving, Kanye situation where Black America's beating up Shannon Sharp. And then he goes on the show and then he seemingly gets embarrassed by Skip Bayless. I think he's just feeling beat up, bruised, and battered. I think he's realizing those positions on these mainstream outlets, How do I say this? Because With the Kanye and Kyrie situation, do you think it's a coincidence that every black man on one of those platforms felt the same way about Kyrie, that he was dumb, he was wrong? I think there's only room for a black man to be a certain way in there. So here you got Shannon Sharpe getting beat up by his own people, people calling him an Uncle Tom, tearing him apart. And then you got his own partner who kind of went at him on the show. Like, I feel like he's just a sad puppy, son. And it seemed that way when he returned to the show. He like, Skip, I can't even get through a monologue, man. I can't even talk. Like, yo, Jenny, go to the next topic. Like, on some real passive-aggressive shit. Yo, dog, put your big boy pants up and talk. Debate. Do you think Sharpe would have responded that way if it was his first year on the job? No. I think years and years have taken its toll on him. The black man ain't really free up there. They only want you to speak a certain way. Going back to the jab, whatever. It's supposed to be the appearance of hanging out on the in the barbershop, but them black folks can only say certain things or else their careers is kaputs. So I think he was just in a position where he just bruised and battered and fucking neutered. As great as those brothers do on the platform, we know Shannon Sharpe knows the game. He ain't getting a general manager's position, is he? The Denver Broncos will invite him back to hold the trophy and take pictures and put on a throwback jersey, but you ain't calling no shots. I don't know, man. That's me just talking. Now, as for Skip Bayless. Skip Bayless tweeted something after Damar Hamlin went down. I don't want to hold up the show. Let me see if I could get it. Let me see. What did he say? All right. I'm not going to hold the show. So, Skip Bayless tweeted something after Damar Hamlin collapsed. And it was something to the effect of, you know what? I'm gonna read it. Okay, this is Skip Bayless's tweet. Quote, no doubt the NFL is considering postponing the rest of this game. But how? This late in the season, a game of this magnitude is crucial to the regular season outcome, which suddenly seems so irrelevant. Let me say this to the people that are coming for Skip. I hate you motherfuckers. I hate you motherfuckers. People call us the tweet inhumane. Skip needs to be fired. People have threatened violence. Let me ask you. Skip is a big boy. He explained his own tweet. He said it was misinterpreted. But let's go from a fan's perspective. Right? Without his explanation. Let's say he was concerned about the NFL season and what that means. Do you think he was the only one? Do you think Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, was on the phone talking about what this means for the season, what canceling a game means for the playoff seeding? Do you think the coaches weren't thinking about it? Do you think the media execs weren't thinking about what does this mean? Do you think the gamblers and the bettors weren't thinking about what a cancellation means for their pot? Do you think fans weren't thinking about it? You see, what pisses me off is that there are real devilish people in this world, but you let them off the hook. You give people the motivation to lie to you and deceive you and feign real care. Oh, snap, one of those little nigga boys is on the court. Yeah, yeah. Love for Damar. They don't all really love you. How do you know that, Will? I offer America and its history as evidence in the court, Your Honor. If we all genuinely loved each other like that and weren't into our own selfish interests, these brothers wouldn't have to play football and bang their head against one another for a living. You guys want to go after Skip, man. Skip is in his house with his lovely wife and his Maltese, not bothering a soul. He's not the one that's really doing devilish things. And you guys want to bring all the venom towards him. But you guys watch your mouth when it comes to talking about Jerry Jones and his picture keeping blacks out. You guys watch your mouth when it comes to Dan Snyder of the Washington Commanders and the filthy organization he's been ahead of for decades. You guys talk real nice to them. You guys make sure you watch your mouth when it comes to Robert Kraft, who was caught in a massage parlor getting a rub and tug from a lady. Do we know if that girl is of age? Do we know if that girl is a victim of sex trafficking? No, because the courts made it disappear. You niggas watch your mouth when it comes to individuals like that, but you want to pile on Skip. I fucking hate you motherfuckers. Donald Sterling, years ago, the disgrace owner for the Los Angeles Clippers, it came out that he said he didn't want his side chick hanging with blacks. He liked to see beautiful black bodies when he walk in the locker room. What did the Clippers do? They came out ready to play their playoff game, but oh, they turned their jerseys inside out. That was their protest. Even Jeff Van Gundy, a broadcaster, a white broadcaster, was pissed off like, yo, dog, this was an opportunity to do something special, and you niggas dropped the ball. You niggas be real nice when it comes to the real devils in this sport. But you want to go after Skip. Skip Bayless, whose resume includes putting Stephen A. on First Take full-time, helping his star rise. The same Skip Bayless that identifies Shannon Sharp as his partner after CBS dropped his ass. The same Skip Bayless that brought Rob Parker to Undisputed. Right? Didn't Rob Parker tell that story here? ESPN and mainstream media were kind of done with him after he called Robert Griffin III a cornball brother. But Skip Bayless got on the phone and said, yo, dog, I need you with me. The same Skip Bayless that gave a little-known podcast out of Brooklyn, New York named William Holly an interview. When ain't shit I could do for Skip. He did that out of the kindness of his heart, trying to elevate a young brother in the industry. That's Skip Bayless I want to come for. But the real people that are exploiting us, making monies off of our backs, you let them off the hook. Dana White is on TV smacking the shit out of his wife, but you motherfuckers watch your tongue when it come to him. ESPN, Molly Kerm, the moderator for First Take. Oh, yeah, I can vouch for his character. Yeah, character, him smacking his wife. But you motherfuckers is in pocket. You real close to the vest when it comes to those individuals because they hold the key to your job. You niggas have no spine, and I hate you motherfuckers. Y'all want to pile on Skip? He ain't bothering anybody. So what? You don't like his tweet? Okay, address it to him like men do. Skip, I didn't like that. But why the threatening of violence? Steven Jackson talk about, yo, I want to slap Skip. All love lost, all respect lost. Steven Jackson, when the world thought you was a hood booger thug that goes in the crowd and smack people when you remember the paces and the malice of the palace, right, smacking fans, the world was done with you. I saw you return to national TV on Skip's platform. I could be wrong in the timeline, but yeah, I felt you was somewhere in obscurity, but Skip gave you a shot, if I'm not mistaken. And that's how you're going to speak about him. You niggas is cowards, bro. Mark Cuban, owner of the Dallas Mavericks, presided over an organization that was rife with sexual assault. You motherfuckers, oh, Mark Cuban, yeah, he's cool. He wears T-shirts to games. You niggas is really cowards, bro. It came out a few years ago that NFL owners essentially hid $100 million from the players. The NFL owners said it was an accounting error, but the judge said no. The NFL owners needs to add $100 million to the pot with the players and share it. The NFL was hiding it, taking food out of people's mouths. But you niggas won't ever say anything to them. You got people like Michael Irvin like, yeah, Jerry Jones is like a second father to me. Why? Why? Yucking it up with the real enemy. But you want to pile on Skip. He ain't bothering anybody. You know, you guys remind me of the guys that fucking your boss ain't treating you like shit at work, so you go home and beat your wife. What a fucking coward. What a coward. I wish you motherfuckers would shut up and dribble, because you ain't saying anything of value. Your ancestors are ashamed of you. They're rolling over in their grave. You're letting these guys get away with whatever they want. Dana White smacking his wife on television. But y'all ain't going to do nothing. Y'all ain't going to do nothing. Y'all afraid to lose a dollar. There's real people out here committing real crimes. Really committing acts of harm against our community. And y'all want to pile on Skip. Man. Yo. What a joke, son. That's the only way I could describe it. Like, what a freaking joke. I think Skip is of high moral character. I think Skip really genuinely cares about people. Does that mean we agree with everything? So if you had an issue with his tweet, address it respectfully. Skip, can I come on and talk to you about it? Hey, man. Hey, I. The more I think about this podcast, the more I think, like, I ain't going to really make it that long. Because a lot of these things, people think is great podcast content. I'm not a basketball player. I'm not a basketball coach. I'm not a podcaster. I'm a motherfucking soldier. And when I see this stuff play out, I'm not licking my chops like, yo, this is going to make for a great podcast. My first inclination is, how can I help change this world? So I'm really outside soldiering. So it kind of bothered me when people be like, yo, Holly, like, yo, we should discuss this and that. Like, sometimes I see a story, I don't even want to address it. I'd rather go get somebody and bring them on my platform and elevate their story. And let's figure out a way to change our little community, our little backyard. I don't want to talk about these clowns all day. I don't want to sit here 20 years and say we need more black coaches for 20 years, Stephen A. Smith. Go do some. Yeah, man. Salute to Skip Bayless. People are going to say, well, you defended him because he was on your show. No, correction. He was on my show because he is somebody I believe is of high moral character. I told you, I've been watching and listening. Everybody that was on that show was because Skip signed off. Jemele Hill, Two Live Stews. Meanwhile, Jerry Jones and all these people, the only time you see them with people is the people they make money off of. Skip ain't make no money coming here. He did that for us, for me and my community, my little podcast, and he thought he could help elevate us. Jerry Jones, Dan Snyder, all these owners that y'all be yucking it up with and saying, oh, that's my boy, oh, he's so cool because he comes and sits and hangs with black people. Oh, how could I forget this example? Jim Dolan. Jim Dolan, owner of the Knicks, had Charles Oakley, one of his former players, damn assaulted in the Garden for the world to see. You players ain't say nothing. When you see him, it's still Mr. Dolan. Niggas cowards, bro. Yo, my man Sincere coming up. After that, we out, man. Let me welcome to the show cool young brother I met over the last couple of years, brother by the name of Sin Lawton. Sincere, welcome, sir.
What's up? What's up, people?
How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Good. Great.
I'm glad that you're here. Allow me to give the audience some backstory. I met Sincere Lawton when I was working as an assistant basketball coach at George Wingate High School. He was a brother that worked in the building. He said, yo, I want to work as a coach. And our very first year at Wingate, he served as an assistant. Cool young brother. Enjoyed having him around. And you know, I always tell people how much I hate social media, but here's a good story. You know, Sin was a humble brother when he was with us, you know, learning the game, motivating the young men. But it wasn't until I really saw his social media that I saw, like, his personality play out in full. Very funny brother. And for a young man, how old are you?
I'm 26 years
26. Old. He was very wise. I'm like, oh, snap, Sin. Let's bring some of that to the podcast. So here we are. Also, I saw that he was building a sports betting club. Now, Lord forgive me, I ain't into the gambling and stuff, but I say, yo, this brother seems to be building a community, having some success. Let's bring him on. So what's the name of your club, Sin?
Everybody Eats Club.
How did this come about?
In the summertime, I was coaching LTG, and I was doing a lot of betting on FanDuel with tennis. And as the night before, the night of, or even the day of, I would place a bet before, and I would just do the homework on the tennis player. And after I did the bets and the homework, the results came out, and I was winning because of the research that I was doing behind these bets. And from there, it took off July, August. And I stepped in it to September after, like, posting my results.
You was up online posting mad stuff. I didn't even know what it means, but I just saw green light gang, money bag emoji. I'm like, yo, Sin, you getting money over there?
Yeah.
And then you decided to form a club?
Yes.
Everybody Eats.
Everybody
Eats. Where'd that name come from?
From Paid in Full. Everybody Eats, B.
Everybody Eats, B.
Everybody Eats, B. With the hands in the air, the money in the sky. Like,
it's, who said that line? It was Ace, right?
Ace said that, yeah.
You see, yo, everybody eats, man.
That's the motive. That's the motto of the club. Everybody Eats.
Everybody Eats.
Everybody Eats.
Let's talk about some of these football games coming up. Let's start with the first one. Seahawks at Niners. Okay. What's the... I don't even know the time. Over and under?
Yeah, over and under.
What is it?
It's at the over and under is starting at 42.5.
So, who is it? Vegas or the odds makers put out 42.5? That's the total number of points that will be scored for the whole game.
For the whole game, yes.
And the bettor has to choose whether they'll go over it or under.
Under, yes, correct.
Both teams together, 42.5 points total.
Yes.
And what do you think is going to happen?
I think it's going to go under.
Why?
Just because Brock Purdy, and I'm going to look into the camera and say this, Brock Purdy hasn't played a single NFL playoff game in his career.
Brock Purdy is the starting quarterback for the Giants.
Yes, start for the San Francisco 49ers.
49ers, forgive me, yeah.
Yes, and he's the third string, not the starter, the third string. We all know who the first string was. He got injured. The second string was Jimmy Garoppolo.
Garoppolo, he got injured.
He got injured.
Hold on, Olsen. The Seahawks are on the road.
Yes.
The 49ers have star running backs, Debo Samuel, mm-hmm. Christian McCaffrey. But you're going under 42.5, yes. And you also believe the Seahawks are going to win on the road.
Yes.
Now, professional gamblers, they always talk about research. To me, I think it's just a crapshoot and nobody knows. That's why I never really gamble. But is there some research and evidence that is leading you in this direction?
Yeah, just off the Seahawks playing great defense. The Seahawks played great defense.
So tell me, what type of bet do you put down on that?
What do you mean by it? Can you explain?
Like, don't you have to choose how much money you want to put on it?
Yeah, how much money you want to put on. Yeah,
So if you bet a dollar, how much do you win?
So if you bet a dollar, I could show you the you put a dollar right now on the Seahawks to win, you'll get back $4.10. So it's a $3.10 come up.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to our next game we got. Chargers at Jaguars.
Chargers at Jaguars. That's a tough game. Tough game. Equal playing field. Both teams didn't find success until the late half of the season.
True.
Both quarterbacks have something to prove. And this is just an even playing, even with the wide receivers, the running backs, even playing field. Nobody's better than each other. Nobody's really top tier. It's all, my bad, Austin Eckler from off the Los Angeles Chargers. He's a bad man at running back and receiver.
So who you got winning that game?
To be honest, I love the Chargers, but I'm going with Jacksonville.
You going with Jacksonville. What's the over and under in that game?
Over and under at that is at 47.5.
So do you believe combined those teams are going to score over 47.5 points or under? What's your choice?
My choice on that game is over 47.5, only because the Jacksonville Jaguars have been putting a lot of points on the boards. Them and the Detroit Lions.
So you going over?
Over.
That's what you would bet?
That's what I would bet. Over 47.5.
Sin, this is people hard-earned money, bro. What's the research? What's the evidence behind this?
It's just proven facts. If you see, if you watch football and you understand football, you don't even have to watch football. Just put on SportsCenter the end of night of Sunday, and it'll show you that the Jaguars score a lot of points in their games.
Got you. Now, and this everybody each club. It's not just you. You have some other brothers that help you out.
Yes.
What's everybody's role or contribution to the everybody each club?
Just say one person may be busy, the other person may be busy, just hold down a club with the best. Even when I people that's in our chat, they ask about, well, which I think about this, or which I think about the Knicks winning for the day, or you think Giannis will get 30 points. We just need brothers or teammates or even coworkers to put on that hat and hold the team up if we're not around. That's what it's about. Everybody eats.
Do you guys come together and compare research and information to come about with one, I guess, outcome or bet for the club?
Yeah, it's definitely that way. We do sometimes, but in this club, everybody has a different mind.
So what happens when you guys disagree?
We all have a different slip. And if one wins, we all win.
But if somebody joins your club to get information regarding gambling, how does it work if all three of you guys have different opinions?
We tell them this. You could, the slip that we do, the slip or parlay that we do drop, that we do put in the chat, if you like it, you take it. If you don't, you freestyle it. Maybe you don't like Kevin Durant for 30 points.
Right.
You take that out and you put Spencer Dinwiddie for 15 because you like Spencer Dinwiddie. You know Spencer Dinwiddie could give you that 15. Okay. Enlighten us on something.
Yeah.
We enlighten you. It's a two-way street.
Copy. Yeah. Let's go to the third game, Sunday. Dolphins at the Bills. What's the over and under on that?
The over and under of that is
45.5. Do you think that it's going to go over or under?
That's going to go over. That's going to go over 40.5.
How do you know?
Shootouts.
What about the weather? Do you factor that into your gambling?
Weather has enough. I did that 2 weeks ago. What team was that? It was with the Giants. The Giants played somebody. And it was supposed to snow, the rain, the sleet, the wind factor, and nothing happened.
Nothing happened. And who do you have winning that game?
The Bills.
All right. We got the Giants versus the Vikings Sunday afternoon. What's the over-under?
The over and under of that? Giants versus, it's at 40, it's at 48.5.
You going over or under?
Under.
Why?
The Giants won't put up that much points. They don't have any receivers. The only person that they have is Saquon Barkley. And I know this other guy named Richie James that I got familiar with this year. He's not really star caliber, but he could get the job done. But he can't give you two touchdowns.
Okay, but the over and under is the combined score of both teams. Yeah, both so you said the Giants can't score that many points.
Yeah.
But the Vikings may put up 40.
The Vikings could put up 30. Let's just say the Vikings put up 34 and the Giants put up 6.
Right.
That's 40 points. That's how I don't see the Giants. I don't see the Vikings putting up 44 points or 36 or.
So you're going under.
I'm going under.
Who you got winning that game?
The Vikings.
Okay. Are you a Giants fan?
I can't say I'm a Giants fan.
Are you a fan of any of these teams that you're betting on?
I don't bet with my heart. I bet with my brain.
All right. That was gonna be my next question. How does that affect your gambling?
I don't bet on my favorite player. I don't bet on my favorite player, but I don't bet on my favorite team. Cause my favorite team sometimes could let me down.
Yeah.
I don't go because I like the Lakers and LeBron and AD's over there. I'm gonna bet on the Lakers to win.
So you stay away from that?
I stay away from betting with my heart and I bet with my brain.
Copy. Sunday night, Ravens at Bengals. What's the over and under?
Over and under for that. Ravens at Bengals. It's at 42.5.
And you going under or over?
I'm going 42.5. Bengals, Ravens. I'm going under.
Why?
The Lamar Jackson factor.
He won't be playing.
He won't be playing. He might not be playing. If he really wants this, he might not play. If he's trying to get this contract, he wants to be the safe way, take care of the knee. Because he might not, I don't think he's going to win this, go deep into the playoffs right this year with those players that he have. He can make a run, but he won't make it too far.
But again, Sin, the Bengals might put up some big numbers.
Yeah, of course. But the Ravens got to come out and play defense too. You're just not going to put up 44 points.
So you're going under.
I'm going under.
With the Bengals winning.
Yes.
And the last game of the weekend, Cowboys at Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. What's the over and under?
Over and under is at 45.5.
And what's your choice?
Be going over.
You think those teams are going to combine for more than 45.5 points?
Yes.
Why? Tom Brady's old.
Mike Evans. Two touchdowns the last game. Two deep touchdowns. Tom Brady connected back with him. We got that's the Cowboys. We got CeeDee Lamb.
But Sin, I've heard stories all year about the Bucs offense is not what it used to be.
It's Tom Brady. Playoff Brady.
That sound like emotion, Sin.
It's not emotion.
We can't bet off the past, brother.
It's proven facts. I watched Tom Brady come back in the championship game against the Falcons. Mm. They were down at least like 28 points. And I watched this man single-handedly bring his team.
Furthermore, didn't the Cowboys get blown out by the Redskins last week? The offense is sputtering.
Yeah.
What makes you think they're going to put up big points to help you with that over at 45.5?
It's just playoffs is different. When you're playing for something, it means something now. Nobody wants to go home. Nobody wants to go home and pack their locker with a black garbage bag.
Who you got winning that game?
That's hard. I got the Bucks. I'm a Bucks fan. Buccaneers. I don't bet with my heart, but I'm a Bucs fan. I'm sorry.
So if you bet on the Bucs and if you bet on the over, mm-hmm. you bet a dollar. How much can you possibly win back?
On over?
Yeah, take a look at that.
I'll take a look right now at that. So on over with a dollar, you'll win 95 cents. Yeah, 95 cents.
So if you bet a dollar, you could win
95 cents.
Okay.
So it's pretty much more than half.
Yeah.
More than whole.
Yeah. It's almost one for one.
One for one. Yeah.
So if you bet $300, you could possibly make close to $300.
$300. Mm. It's proven.
This is the life, huh?
This is the life.
What's the biggest ticket you ever hit?
The biggest ticket I'd ever hit. Well, my yearly resume just came out on my wins and losses. My biggest win New York, it just became legal to gamble to sports bet in New York. So this is my first year. Mm-hmm. My biggest bet was $538 that I won.
How much did you bet initially?
Initially? It was probably like a $75. Yeah.
You bet $75 and won
$500. $500. Mm-hmm. It's all just research, knowledge, understanding of the game, a little bit of SportsCenter, a little bit of Twitter. Shout out StatMuse, too. Those guys are really, real useful.
Yeah, they be on it, too.
StatMuse. Shout out StatMuse. So it's a lot of platforms that can help you beat these sports books and win a little couple dollars.
What was the most, I guess, devastating loss? I'm not asking you financially. I'm asking you, give me a time when you were close to winning something big and perhaps a player dropped the ball, a player missed a basket. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that. When you was in the kid in the crib kicking and screaming, throwing stuff.
Oh, this is I got a lot of hurtful a lot of hurtful losses behind. Like the losses, it comes with losses. This game comes with losses. It's not all about wins. You lose majority of the time you play. But the biggest loss that hurt me the most, let's just say the Lakers.
Yeah.
The Lakers. I was up late, 11:30. I was supposed to be asleep, getting ready for work the next morning. And I just so happened to see the Lakers up 15. And I did what I said you shouldn't do in this game. I went with my heart instead of my brain. And they blew a 15-point lead. Blew a 15-point lead.
Now some of these games, you could bet in-game.
Yeah.
So you saw they was up 15, you took a little bet.
It took a little bet, yeah.
And took the L.
It took the L.
How hurt were you?
when I lose a bet that I think that I should win, it's real tough. But I try not to bring my feelings in this in this type of environment, sports betting, because it leads to revenge betting. You don't want to be a revenge bettor. You don't
chasing.
Wanna, yeah, chasing.
The last loss where I could double up and double make it up.
Yeah, and that was my these last like couple months. I was revenge betting, and I caught myself at the end of the year. Said, "You revenge betting?
That's you're real.
You trying to like you know get back what you lost? And yeah. It's just a loss. You got to take chalk the loss up and find a better strategy or a better way of placing the bet. And that's what I'm trying to do this year.
Copy. Over this last year, would you say that you up or
yeah. And wins, I could say that I'm up.
Financially?
Yeah. Wins. Financially.
So definitely. To you it's worth it?
Yeah, it's worth it. It's worth it. Just put your heart into it. Just put your mind to it and you're definitely something like this the same Meek Mill says, scared money don't make no money.
Yeah. Anybody in your life try to stop you from doing it? Talk you out of doing it? Betting?
Yeah. Yeah. Sometime. I wouldn't say it that way, but they'd be like, you know, gambling is bad, gambling is this, gambling is that. But I'm like, it's not street gambling. I'm not in the streets gambling again. You know, with like 30 other guys that I may know five guys, but I may not know the other 25 guys. I'm in my home, in the comfort of my home, in the comfort of my TV, my cell phone. It's just risking, you know, money.
That's real. Yo, that's real. I'm not street gambling.
I'm not street gambling.
I'm doing so. I work hard. Yeah, that's what I want to do. I'm with you, son.
Yeah, definitely. And I had to look at it like that, too. Because, you know, like, sometime, like, my mom's been asking, like, oh, what you doing? Too long, this. And it's like, I'm not outside street gambling. Or, you know, like.
This at a dice game when shit could go crazy.
Shit could go, yeah. And as a young guy growing up, I started with, you know, street dice. Seeing that it could go left. And then just something just woke up and said, you know what, just deal with FanDuel. There's no only risk that I'm taking is just losing the bet and that's it. I know if I win, they're gonna pay me my money.
Yeah.
I know if I lose, I lost the right way. I didn't get, you know, backdoored or boo-fooled or
that's real stuff, man. That's real stuff. And when I thought about putting this segment together, I was like, yo, well, I don't know about gambling and this and that, but I rock with you, OD. Mm-hmm. I know you a solid young man. And he said, like, yo, let's give it a shot. It's legal. You know, like you mentioned, you do it in the safety of your home. You're not out on the street and stuff. So, salute. So, let's do this little recap with this NFL weekend.
Okay.
You got the Seahawks winning.
Yes.
You taking the under.
Yes.
You got, who's that, Jacksonville?
Jacksonville, yes.
Winning.
Yes.
Taking the under.
Yes.
You got the Bills winning.
Yes.
Taking the over.
Yes, correct.
You got the Vikings beating the Giants, taking the under.
Yes.
You got the Bengals winning, and you're taking the under.
Yes.
And Tom Brady and the Bucks, playoff Tom Brady, you got him winning, and you're taking that over.
Yes. Correct.
What's the goal with everybody eats?
To become big as a group, as a team. To get acknowledgement from like these other platforms too, like I be watching a lot of platforms, Barstool Sports, like to get acknowledgement for those guys, you know, like a group of young guys, just to get acknowledgement, acknowledgement,
and be recognized
for what we do, the research that we do behind it, and just you never know what we doing, who you helping out, maybe putting, it may be the person may win $50, that could be gas tank for the week, or you know they may win. 175 that may cover the phone bill. You just never know. We just like helping the community. It's all about help. When you help,
I told you my young hitter was on it.
When you help, I just because I never came. Like, I came from help, but it wasn't, like, really, 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 really big of a help. Like, I had my cousins growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, like, big help in my life because they never went to jail. They never did any, like, violent street crimes.
Yeah.
They never...
But I this never, is this yeah, a legal hustle for you.
It's a legal hustle. Mm-hmm. So I just put it that way, and I just focus.
You somebody that's close to the youngsters in high school and stuff. What do you tell them about FanDuel and gambling, if anything?
Even let's just put it like this: when Jay Reed came to me and asked me to join, I was kind of shaky on it too. Like, damn, I wonder where Will going. Cause I know he made posts as a Zelty guy. He followed Will, and what Baker gonna think about? Like, I don't want to like make it seem like I'm staying these guys in the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to.
Jay Reed is 18 now, by the way.
18 now, and I really had to sit down and say, man, Jay Reed is 18. He in college now. He you know, at least can make his own decision.
Yeah.
So he came to me. He's, yo, son, I want to join the group. I said, Jay, I don't really like. Are you strong? Are you really like this? He said, nah, I already got an account. So when he said he already had an account, it already made me feel even more like the pressure came off.
I can't have my young boy out here misinformed. Like, you already got an account. Come rock with us.
So come rock with us. And shout out J. Reed, man. J. Reed hit me up on a regular. And maybe.
How does someone join Everybody Eats Club?
You could hit me up on the DM at Everybody Eats Club on Instagram.
One word? Everybody Eats Club. Okay. On
Instagram. You may see our results from somebody. You can DM them. And
what's the fees to be in the club?
All right, so it's a $15 week subscription fee. Then after that, we have the $25 month subscription fee. Then after that, we have the $50 subscription fee.
Mm-hmm. All right, man. Are you willing to come back next week and discuss the outcomes of these games?
Of course, of course, of course.
You might be a big winner, or there might be some people looking at for you like, yo, maybe lost my money. You ready for that?
It's what comes with the game. This is what comes with the passion, the grit. It is. Even last night, man, with TCU.
Or the national football game.
National football game. I thought TCU was really going to get the job done. You know, if anybody knows, TCU is not really a big of a school.
Like, right.
Like Georgia, the Alabamas.
So that's reason not to expect them to win.
It is, but they beat those Oklahomas, the Michigans,
mm-hmm.
the Ohio States. They beat them during the regular season, and mm-hmm. they did it with class. It's not like a 3-point win.
So you thought they was going to go out there and maybe shock the world?
And Max Duggan, maybe the moment was too big for him or whatever it was, but he went on a trial, but that Georgia defense was just...
So you lost that ticket?
Yeah, I lost that ticket. We all lost that ticket because I gave them my insert, my behalf. And they say, you know what, Sam, we're going to rock with you. We're going to lock this bet.
Does it make it hard to sleep on a night like that, knowing people were relying on your information and they lost the ticket?
Yeah, but if we could bounce back the next day, that's the best part about it.
Mm.
Take one L, come back with 3 W's.
Mm.
That's the best part about it, making people smile. Like, oh, nah, you right, you messed up. Yeah, I messed up. But we back now. It's a new day. It's a new slate.
Just like the stock market, there are up days and there are down days.
Definitely.
But what they tell you is over the long haul, you should be up. You mm-hmm. should be all right.
You should be all right.
That's my guy, Sincere Lawton. Give him the Instagram one more time.
At Everybody Eats Club on Instagram. Everybody Eats Club on Instagram. You can follow us. You can watch out for our bets. We post free bets in the stories.
Yo, we bringing him back next week to see how he did this NFL weekend,
yes,
man.
Yes, yes.
Yo, Sin, appreciate you, bro.
You're ready.
All right, yo. To be here. We are.